Everybody's mad about something, just about it. And people kill you. You know, I told y'all the other day about I drove in that shooting down on Spring Hill Avenue, and I got turned around and got out there pretty quick. But laughter, and even though if we do it in church sometimes, just to have a lighthearted moment, it's good for you. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and a broken spirit drieth the bone. And I think this country needs to lighten up a little bit. I think people need to lighten up a little bit and laugh a little bit. And I used to listen to a radio show. It come on, and it was about folks, you need to lighten up and laugh every once in a while. And if you ever get too religious to laugh every once in a while, I think that you've lost a great healing quality to be able to laugh. But there's a scripture that I have read twice this week. Once I saw it on Facebook, and this afternoon, I had put this aside. It was an article from 2016 from J. Grady Lee in the magazine called Charisma. And I tore it out and I put it underneath my binder and forgot I had it in there. And of all things, I read that yesterday, and today I run into this and I said, Lord, I think you want us to, I think you want me to share this tonight. So the title of his article was To Stay Calm and Please Don't Bite My Head Off. And it starts out talking about people today are way too angry. And he talks about some instances of road rage. And one of them was down in New Orleans where a former NFL football player named Will Smith was shot and killed in road rage there in New Orleans. And he went on down to talk about other altercations of where people were got into road rage and shot and killed the other individual. Didn't know him. Somebody just cut somebody off, come in too quick on them, and they pulled up beside him and gave him some gestures and things and pulled him over, and the other one got mad, and they pulled over, and one of them just pulls out a gun and shoots and kills the other one without even talking over the situation. And I'm going to do some reading to you tonight, and then we're going to read some scripture and share some things. But starting off where I'll be reading to you, it says, I don't know what triggered this sudden volcanic eruption on national anger. Is it too much coffee? Are people getting enough sleep? Is it social media, which allows otherwise rational people to stand on their virtual soapboxes and launch hateful tirades against outrage of the day on Facebook? Obamacare, illegal immigrants, racism in Hollywood, Hillary Clinton's emails, Donald Trump's tweets, or Kim Kardashian's latest Instagram post. We may not have all the information about the topic we are angry about, but we are upset whenever we hear somebody else's opinion and that we don't agree with, and people stomp their feet, drop the F-bombs to make their points. We will use all caps and many explanation marks. But says the tendency toward what characterizes outrage and stuff, talked about the 2016 presidential election. It says we are so polarized now, red versus blue, Democrats versus Republicans. Fox News and CNN, war against each other. MSNBC, all of these, they war against each other. Let me see. Trump was against Ted Cruz. Hillary was against Bernie. That closed, relatives and good friends have stopped speaking to each other verbal barbs and stuff that happens on the news stations. I watch, occasionally I watch nighttime news. I used to watch it every night. It just got so depressing and I quit. But people just finally got to the point to just get on and holler at each other. One of them out talks to the other one. You got two people yelling at each other at the same time. And just finally got where it bothered me. And I said, nobody's getting anything and nobody's really making a point. And all it's doing is upsetting me because I have a different view from one of them that's in there yelling and hollering. But he gives some, what I want to get to, he gives some suggestions. And it's going to be three suggestions of what we need to do. And the first suggestion is this. You might want to write these down. Think before you speak. And consider saying nothing at all. The Apostle James said it best. And this is the verse that I read on Facebook yesterday. And I read it again in this article this afternoon. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James 1:19. Be slow to speak, slow to anger, but be quick to hear. I catch myself sometimes I say things before I think. I jump into things before I know the facts. And how many of you have heard the old Southern thing that I don't have a dog in the hunt? A lot of people get involved in stuff that they don't even have a dog in the hunt. It's somebody else's family issues. It's somebody else's things that's going on in their family. It don't have anything to do with your family. You're not even close to them. But somebody came to you and told you what was going on in their family, and because they were your good friend and they were mad with this one, they just sided with the other one and they just started bad-mouthing somebody else, and they don't have a dog in the hunt. And they run around telling everybody else that it's the truth. I had a situation back, and I just got really upset. And actually, I just quit going by to see that person. I used to go by all the time and see him. I just quit. I couldn't stand it. I left so pulled down. I mean, whenever you go and you sit down and you talk with somebody for an hour, when you leave, you want to shoot yourself? You need to stay away from them. Now, actually, I didn't want to shoot myself. But when I left, I was so pulled down and drained. If anything drains you, constantly stay away from it. Write that down. If you've got people that drain you, don't you hang around them for the doggone juicy stuff they're telling. Because they never going to run out of juicy stuff. They hunt it. And when they hunt it, they dwell on it. And whenever they dwell on it, they go around and they tell everybody else about it. And this guy was telling me about a thing, and it was a family issue. And it wasn't his family. He was just friends with the family that don't like this part of the family. And he started bad-mouthing the people, and I know these people, and I know what he was saying wasn't true. And it was about an event, and I was at the event. And he told me what that family did and blah, 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 and they call themselves Christians and all this kind of stuff. And I said, look, I was there. What you're saying, I saw it, but it didn't happen that way. It did not happen that way. Yes, it did. They told me it did. I said, look, I was there. It did not happen. Yes, it did. That person wanted it to happen so he could badmouth these other people. When that person stands before God, he's going to find out that never happened. And he defamed good people. Defamed them, badmouth them, and spread the lie. Those other people lied to him. Or either they just made it up and they assumed it happened, and it didn't happen. And maybe they didn't think in their mind they were lying, they just assumed it. But an assumption that's not true is a lie on that person that they're talking about. And it can hurt their reputation. It can hurt their witness and their testimony. If I know something bad on Tom Waters, listen, I'm not going to ever go around and beat him up with Doug and whatever, because I'm hurting the whole cause of Christ. I'm hurting this church. I'm hurting Tom. I'm hurting Janie. I'm hurting his grandchildren. I'm hurting his great-grandkids, because I'm just tearing down his whole reputation. And then realize later it wasn't true and don't have enough gall to go back when you find out it's not true and apologize to that person that you was tearing down. Listen, if you don't have a dog in the hunt, stay out of it. Just flat stay out of it. You don't have to jump in every debate. Oftentimes, the wisest man is the one who says nothing. Throwing in your two cents can sometimes cause a raging fire to spread. Just be quiet and let the fire go out. If you fan the flames, and for the life of me, I cannot understand why some people love to fan the flames. If you have that habit, ask God to help you get rid of it. Number two, promote peace, not arguments. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. I remember we had an ambassador named Henry Kissinger for the United States. And he went and he talked with Egypt president and he talked with the president of Israel. And our ambassador negotiated peace and tried to stop the fighting between the Israelites and the Palestinians. And he did these things, and he was known throughout the world as the man that could go and negotiate peace. And he would negotiate and get peace for a while, and then somebody would come and fan the flames. And then jets were flying, and bombs were dropping, and gunfire was going. And the next thing you know, there was war again in the Middle East. They don't have to go around stirring up emotions, flaring their nostrils, and rattling swords. Skilled ambassadors use wisdom to promote goodwill. This doesn't mean that they don't confront wrong or bring correction, but their words are seasoned with grace. And we need to ask God to season our words with grace. The Apostle Paul told the earliest Christians, says, therefore let us pursue the things which produce peace and the things that build up more, to the things that build up one another in Romans 14 and 9. And don't let the devil use you to tear people down. We need to build people up if there's any way possible. How many of you hear stuff on other people all the time? I had somebody that came to me and told me that I need to fire these people at the church. Oh, good Lord, I don't know how many times that person has come to me. You need to fire this person. You need to fire that person. You need to fire this person. I heard this on them, and I heard that on them. And I remember one of the things, and I said, look, I can't just go around firing people because you heard something. I said, I have to have proof. And he called people by names, and you ought to step down this deacon, you ought to step down that one, you ought to fire this person, you ought to fire that person. Listen, If that person or any person ever comes to you with that kind of stuff and you agree with them, you are fanning the flames. You know what you need to do? Shame them. Do you have guts enough to shame them? Do you? Do you have guts enough to shame them? Just say, look, is that going to promote peace? Is that going to promote goodwill? The reason the pastor hadn't done anything is because the pastor don't know what you're saying is true or not. And that's what I told this individual. I said, I don't know. I said, I have to have proof. I've had rumors on me that wasn't true. Cult leaders. Just, good Lord, all kind of stuff. None of it was true. And finally, the guy that was spreading it in my church finally came to me and said, I've lied on you. And I still to this day don't know why he lied. Don't know. He said, I'm going to set it straight. Call me up to his house. I remember we went on a Tuesday night. Went up there and he told me, he said, I've wronged you. I've done you wrong. And what it did, it limited me from ever speaking. The stuff he was telling on me that was not true, churches just shut me down. I was preaching all over the place, and I wasn't a pastor yet, but they shut me down. I went for, what was it, Martha, a year? 1 or 2, I can't remember, 1 or 2 years, just no invitations because of that. And I remember crying and saying, God, I can't, how can I fix this? And a guy finally came and told me. He said, Sunday morning, I'm going to go before the church and tell the church that you're not guilty of this stuff, that I've lied on you. And, man, I was happy. On Sunday morning, he came. And that dude went to the altar, and knelt down, and got up, and went back to his seat, never spoke to me again, and never did tell the church anything. And it took God to straighten it all out. But it took years. It took years for it to get straight. I cried. I was upset. I grieved. But folks, we need to pursue things. It's going to bring peace. Pursue things that's going to help somebody. And whenever we deal with things, we do it with grace. The Apostle Paul told the early Christians, says, therefore let us pursue the things which produce peace and the things that build up one another. Romans 14 and 19. Don't let the devil use you to tear down other people. And then the third thing, and the final thing, frame your words with kindness. It says in this article, said it's hip to be hot-headed in this day and age that we live in. We don't have the right to be abrasive with other people who disagree with us in our views. The fruit of the Spirit includes love, peace, kindness, and gentleness in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. My, if we could just be real. The Bible doesn't have good things to say about angry people. Proverbs 29, 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Proverbs 22:24 warns that we should not be friends with hot-tempered people. He says we shouldn't even be friends with hot-tempered people. It's Proverbs 14:16 states bluntly that hot-headed people are actually fools. Proverbs of the New Testament declares, for the anger of, and that's James really 1, Proverbs of the New Testament declares, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." I'll paraphrase it. Anger is a bad strategy. Anger is in style today, folks. And our culture may get more angry till it boils out into the streets. And back during our presidential elections in 2016, I saw stuff just because a man named Donald Trump was running for president and was nobody gave him a chance at all to win. And when the man did win, America became angry. The people that didn't like him. I don't agree with everything that man agrees with. I don't see eye to eye with him on anything. Everything. I do on some things, but not everything. But the Bible says for us to pray for those that are in authority over us. And I didn't agree with hardly anything that the president before him did. And I think the president before him probably was right next to Jimmy Carter damaging the United States more than it had ever been damaged in history. But I prayed for him. And I prayed that God would save him, that God would show him the truth, that God would guide him. I want to challenge you tonight. If you've got a friend that's holding grudges against other people, and they talk to you about it all the time, I want to challenge you to calmly look at them and say, "Look, your attitude is hurting you, and it's destroying you. And I can't agree with your attitude. I love you, but I can't agree with it. If it's with somebody in this church that they're tearing down, why don't you look at them and say, 'Look, I love my church. I love my Jesus, and I love my church.'" You're wrong. If you've got a problem with Doug or you got a problem with Brother Tom, first of all, you need to go find out and see if they intentionally hurt you. But before you spread it and go tell it to anybody else, find out if what they're saying is even true. You can't just believe their side of the story. You got to go and talk to other people and to find out the truth. And the Bible says if you have aught against your brother, what do? Go to everybody else in the church? No. You go to your brother. And if that person refuses, like the one I had to give up going around that day, I said, "Look, get in the vehicle with me. Let's go to that person's house and let's get the truth." Because I know the truth. I was there. You won't believe me. Get in the vehicle with me and let's go over there. And let's get this straight today. I ain't doing that. I know what the truth is. No, you don't. But when a person gets that way, you can't do anything with them. Listen to me. If you don't back away from them, they're going to drag you into being just like them. Because there's some reason that they're hanging with you. Think about it. There's some reason they're hanging with you like that. Y'all agree? There's a reason they're hanging around. And I tell you what it is. Every once in a while, you're feeding them. You're telling them what they want to hear when you don't know the truth of a situation. Consequently, the world operates in this realm. And there's a lot of anger being stirred. And there's a lot of people leaving a lot of churches across America over those kind of things. I think the last thing Sister Nell would ever need is another church split. I think the last thing that Sister Nell needs is another church. I don't know if there's another building left on Main Street for a church or not. But the last thing they need is another little church that's bad-mouthing the other little church, and bad-mouthing this little church, and bad-mouthing that little church. We need to promote peace. You life group leaders, you got your hands full. Because if you're not careful, people will come to your life groups and they'll turn it into a tear-you-down situation, somebody they're upset with. And you'll let out, you'll have to say, not here. No, not here. No. We're here to promote Christ. We're not here to pull anybody down. You hate to do it because you're afraid you offend them. It's better to offend them than it is tear down your church. Amen? You call them outside and say, look, I love you. We don't do that. We don't do that. We say, what if they leave me? You're better off. Because then you ain't got to deal with it on a regular basis. You're better off. You're better off. Because they'll pull you down to the pits. I want to keep what little bit of joy I got. I want to keep it. I want to walk in that joy. I want to hang around people that's going to lift me up. I want to hang around people that's going to encourage me. I want to hang around people that make me laugh. Amen? I want to hang around some people that's got joy. A broken spirit drieth the bone. The Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. I saw it happen. You've heard me tell the story. Right back in that old office. One night a guy left here. I hadn't been here long. Guy got upset with me. And just went berserk in my office. Took his fist and beat my desk and he hollered at me. Talked to me like I was a dog. And I had already set him down because he had been gone for 3 months. And he had a position in church, never told me, just disappeared. Come back after the end of 3 months, said, hey, everything's good. I said, no, you've been replaced. You're not the youth minister anymore, you've been replaced. I said, man, you've been gone for 3 months. You're through. I said, you're welcome to come here, but you're not a leader. You just can't go off and stay gone 3 months and never tell nobody. And then come back in and just assume your position. I said, this, I love you, man, but you don't do that. And that's when he went berserk. And I looked at him after he throwed that fit. Martha was sitting under with me. And after he throwed that fit, I looked at him and I said, I'm going to treat you with more respect than you just treated me with. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now look at me. You're still not the youth minister. You have been replaced. Because your witness and your testimony don't allow you to be that. Person left his church and took about 17 people with him. But we were better off. And now look, we got Doug and Mel don't talk back to Doug. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. But be careful with people. Be careful who you hang with. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you repeat that they say. Because I found out a lot of people saying stuff that ain't true. Amen. God bless you. Be careful. Amen. Brother Charles, you dismiss us?